Njal's Saga, Part 64. Steinvor at Sandgil asked Thorgrim the Norwegian to take care of her property and not leave Iceland, but rather to stay and remember the death of his comrade and kinsman. He answered, "My comrade Thorir predicted that I would die at the hands of Gunnar if I stayed here, and he must have foreseen that, just as he foresaw his own death." She said, "I will give you my daughter Gudrun and all the property." "I didn't know you would pay that much," he said. They made an agreement that he would marry Gudrun, and the wedding took place that summer. Gunnar rode to Burg Thorsvoll, and Kolskegg went with him. Njal was outside with his sons, and they went forward to receive them and welcome them warmly. Then they went apart for a talk. Gunnar said, "I have come to ask for your support and sound advice." Njal said it was his due. "I have fallen into deep trouble and killed many men," said Gunnar, "and I want to know what you think I should do." "Many would say," said Njal, "that you have been pushed hard. Now give me time to think of a plan, to come up with a plan." Njal walked off alone and thought the matter over, and then came back and said, "I've thought of something, but I expect it will take boldness and daring. Thorgeir has made my kinswoman Thorfinna pregnant, and I'll turn over to you the lawsuit for seduction. And I'll also let you take over a second full outlawry case against Starkad for cutting trees in my woods on the Thurherning Ridge, and you will prosecute both these cases. Go to the place where you fought and dig up the bodies and name witnesses to the fatal wounds, and then declare all the dead men outlaws because they attacked you with the intent to give you and your brothers wounds and a swift death. If this is tried at the thing and it is objected that you had previously struck Thorgeir and are thus barred from prosecuting your own suit or those of others, I will answer and say that at the Thingskalar Assembly I restored your right to prosecute both your own case and those of others, and that will quash the objection. You must also go and see Turfing at Bergjarnes, and he will turn over to you a suit against Onund at Trolleskog, who is the one to take action for the slaying of his brother Egil." Gunnar then rode home. A few days later, he and the sons of Njal rode to where the bodies were and dug up all those who had been buried. Gunnar demanded a sentence of outlawry against them on charges of assault and conspiracy to kill, and then rode home. Part 65. That same autumn, Valgard the Grey came from abroad to his home at Hof. Thorgeir Starkadrson went to visit him and Mord and told them how preposterous it was for Gunnar to declare that all the men he had killed were outlaws. Valgard said it must have been at Njal's advice, and that this would not be the end of the advice Njal had given him. Thorgeir asked Valgard and Mord for help and backing, but they held out for a long time and asked for a high sum. Finally, they agreed on a plan. Mord was to ask for the hand of Thorkatla, the daughter of Gizur the White, and Thorgeir was to ride west over the rivers with Valgard and Mord at once. The next day they rode off, 12 in all, and came to Mosfell. They were given a warm reception and stayed there overnight. Then they brought up the marriage offer with Gizur. The outcome was that they made an agreement and that the wedding would take place at Mosfell 2 weeks later. Then they rode home. Later they rode to the wedding. Many guests from the neighborhood had already arrived, and the feast went well. Afterwards, Thorkatla went home with Mord and took over the household, and Valgard went abroad that summer. Mord urged Thorgeir to start a lawsuit against Gunnar. Thorgeir went to see Onund and asked him to start a suit for the slaying of his brother Egil and Egil's sons, and I will start a suit for the slaying of my brothers and for the bloody wounds to myself and my father. Onund said he was ready to do this. They went and announced the slayings and summoned to the scene of the fight a panel of 9 men who were neighbors. News of the starting of the lawsuit reached Lidarendi. Gunnar rode to Signal and told him and asked what he thought should be done. "You must now," said Njal, "summon your own neighbors to the scene of the fight and name witnesses and choose Kol as the slayer of your brother Hjord, for this is lawful. Then you must give notice of a suit for homicide against Kol, even though he's dead. Then you must name witnesses and summon neighbors to ride to the Althing to testify whether Kol and his companions were on the spot and in the attack when Hjord was slain. You must also summon Thorgeir for seduction, and likewise Onund of Trolleskog in the case which Turfing will turn over to you." Gunnar went ahead with all the matters in which he had been advised by Njal. People thought this an odd way to start proceedings. These cases came to the Thing. Gunnar rode to the Thing, as did Njal and his sons and the Sigfusons. Gunnar had also sent a man to his brother-in-law to tell them to ride to the Thing with a large number of men, for this was going to be a hard-fought case. A large force gathered from the west. Mord Valgardson rode to the Thing, and also Runolf of Dahl, the man from Thurning, and Onund of Trolloskog. Part 66. When they came to the Thing, they joined company with Gizur the White and Gir the Godi. Gunnar and the Sigfusins and the Njalsins all went in one group and moved along so briskly that people had to get out of their way to keep from being knocked down. And nothing was talked about all over the Thing as much as this great lawsuit. Gunnar went to meet his brothers-in-law, and they greeted him warmly. They asked him about the battle, and he told them about it in detail with fairness, and then told them what he had done since then. Olaf said, "It's worth a lot to have Njal standing by you with good advice." Gunnar said he would never be able to pay that back and asked them for their help and backing, and they said it was his due. The suits from both sides then came before the court, and each side presented its case. Mord asked how it was that a man like Gunnar, who should be outlawed for what he did to Thorgeir, could be bringing a suit. Njal answered, "Were you at the Thingskalar assembly last autumn?" "Certainly I was," said Mord. "Did you hear," said Njal, "that Gunnar made them an offer of full compensation?" "Certainly I heard it," said Mord. "At that time," said Njal, "I restored Gunnar's rights to carry on all legal matters." "That's lawful," said Mord, "but what reasons was there for Gunnar to charge Kol with the slaying of Hjort when the Norwegian killed him?" "That was lawful too, since he chose him as the slayer before witnesses," said Njal. "I suppose that's correct," said Mord, "but by what right did Gunnar proclaim them all outlaws?" "You don't have to ask that," said Njal, "since they set out to give bloody wounds and cause death." "But this did not happen to Gunnar," said Mord. "Gunnar had two brothers, Kolskegg and Hjort," said Njal. "One of them was killed and the other wounded." "What you say is according to the law," said Mord, "but it's hard to accept." Then Hjalti Skeggjason of Thjórsardal came forward and spoke. "I have taken no part in these lawsuits of yours, but now I want to ask you, Gunnar, how much you will do at my request and for my friendship." What do you ask?" said Gunnar. "This," he said, "that you submit the whole matter to arbitration and let good men reach a settlement." Gunnar said, "Only if you promise never to be against me, no matter who I'm dealing with." "I promise you that," said Hjalti. Then he talked things over with Gunnar's opponents and brought it about that everyone agreed to make peace, and then each side gave pledges to the other. Thorgeir's bloody wound was offset by the seduction charge against him, and Starkad's wound was offset by the wood which he had cut illegally. Thorgeir's brothers were to get half compensation, with the other half cancelled because of their attack on Gunnar. Tyrfing's suit and the slaying of Egil of Sandgil offset each other, and the slaying of Hjort was offset by the slaying of Kol and of the Norwegian. All of the others were to be given half compensation. Njal took part in the settlement, along with Asgrim Elitegrimsson and Hjalti Skeggjason. Njal had a large amount of money on loan to Starkad and the people at Sandgil, and he turned all of this over to Gunnar to pay these fines. Gunnar had so many friends at the Thing that he paid up at once for all the slayings and gave gifts to the chieftains who had helped him, and he earned great honor from all this, and everyone agreed that he had no equal in the South Quarter. Gunnar rode home from the Thing and stayed there in peace, but his enemies were very envious of the honor he had earned. Part 67. To return now to Thorgeir Otkelsson, he grew up to be a worthy man, big and strong, honest and straightforward, but somewhat pliable. He was well-liked by the best people and loved by his kinsmen. One day, Thorgeir Starkadderson went to see his kinsman Mord. "I am ill-pleased," he said, "with the outcome of the lawsuit we had with Gunnar. I paid you to help us as long as we both lived, and now I want you to come up with a good plan, so think hard on it. I speak plainly because I know that you are Gunnar's greatest enemy, just as he is yours. I will add greatly to your honor if you manage this well." "It has always turned out that I am greedy for money," said Mord, "and it's still so. It would be difficult to manage things so that you don't become a truce violator or peacebreaker, and yet you get what you're after. I've been told, however, that Kolskegg is going to bring a suit to regain 1/4 of his farm at Muridarfall, which was paid for to your father in compensation for his son. He has taken over this case from his mother, and it is Gunnar's plan to pay cash and not let the land go. Let's wait until this had been done, and then charge Gunnar with breaking the settlement with you. He has also taken a grain field from Thorgeir Otkelsson and thus broken the settlement with him. You must see Thorgeir Otkelsson and bring him into this, and then attack Gunnar. If something goes wrong for you and you fail to get Gunnar, attack him again and again. I can tell you something else. Njal made a prophecy to Gunnar about the course of his life and told him that if he killed more than once within the same bloodline, his death would follow swiftly, if it also happened that he broke a settlement made for that killing. This is the reason you must get Thorgeir involved, since Gunnar has already killed his father, and if the two of you are together in a fight, you must protect yourself and let him go ahead, and Gunnar will slay him. Then you will have killed twice within the same bloodline, and you must flee the fight. If this is to lead to his death, he will break the settlement made for this slaying. Until then, there's nothing to be done. After this, Thorgeir went home and told his father this in private. They agreed between themselves that they should go ahead with the plan, secretly.
Njal's Saga, Part 68. Soon after this, Thorgeir Starkadarson from Kirkjubeyr went to call on the other Thorgeir, and they went aside for a talk and spent the whole day talking quietly. When they finished, Thorgeir Starkadarson gave Thorgeir Ottkvelson a spear inlaid with gold and then rode home. They had made a very friendly alliance. At the Thingskalar assembly that autumn, Kolskegg laid claim to the land at Moedervall, and Gunnar named witnesses and offered to pay to the people at Thorherning either money or another piece of land at a legally determined value. Thorgeir then named witnesses to the charge that Gunnar had broken the settlement with them. After that, the assembly was over. A year passed. The two Thorgeirs met often, and there was great warmth between them. Kolskegg spoke to Gunnar. "I've been told that Thorgeir Ottkvelson and Thorgeir Starkadarson have become great friends, and many people are saying that they are not to be trusted, and I'd like you to be on your guard." "Death will come to me no matter where I am," said Gunnar, "if that is my fate." With that, they stopped talking. In autumn, Gunnar gave orders that his people should work 1 week at home at Hlidarendi and the next week down at Eyjar and finish the haymaking this way. He also said that everybody should leave the farm except himself and the women. Thorgeir at Thorherning went to see the other Thorgeir, and as soon as they met, the two of them started talking as they usually did. Thorgeir Starkadarson said, "I'd like us to gather our courage and attack Gunnar." "Clashes with Gunnar have always ended the same way," said Thorgeir Ottkvelson. "Few have gained from them, and besides, I would not like to be known as a truce violator." "They broke the settlement, not we," said Thorgeir Starkadarson. "Gunnar took your grain field from you, and he took Moedervall from my father and me." Then they made an agreement between themselves to attack Gunnar. Thorgeir said that Gunnar would be at home alone in a few days, and then you must bring 11 men to meet me, and I'll have the same number. Then he rode home. Part 69. When Kolskegg and the servants had been at Eyjar for 3 days, Thorgeir Starkadarson found out about it and sent word to the other Thorgeir to meet him at Thorherning Ridge. Then he made ready to leave the farm at Thorherning with 11 men. He rode up to the ridge and waited for his namesake. Gunnar was now alone at his farm. The two Thorgeirs rode into a wood. Heaviness came over them, and they could do nothing but sleep. They fastened their shields to the branches, tied their horses, and placed their weapons by their sides. Njal was over at Thorolf's fell for the night and was unable to sleep and kept walking in and out of the house. Thorhild asked Njal why he couldn't sleep. "Many things are passing before my eyes," he said. "I see the fierce personal spirits of many of Gunnar's enemies, but there is something strange about them. They seem in a frenzy, but act without purpose." Shortly after this, a man rode to the door and dismounted and went in. It was the shepherd of Skarphedinn and Thorhild. Thorhild said, "Did you find the sheep?" "I found something of greater importance," he said. "What was that?" said Njal. "I found 24 men up in the woods," he said. "They had tied their horses and were sleeping. They had fastened their shields to the branches." He had studied them so closely that he was able to describe all their weapons and clothing. Then Njal knew exactly who each of them was, and he said to him, "What good hiring if there were many like you. You will always benefit from this, but now I want to send you on an errand." The shepherd agreed to go. "Go to Hlidarendi," said Njal, "and tell Gunnar to go to Griota and send for men, and I will go to those men in the woods and frighten them away. This is moving along nicely. They'll gain nothing in this venture and lose much." The shepherd went off and told Gunnar all that had happened. Gunnar then rode to Griota, and they sent for men to come there. To return to Njal, he rode off to where the two Thorgeirs were. "It's careless to be lying around here," he said. "What's this expedition all about? Gunnar is not a man to be pushed around, and if the truth be told, this is the lowest sort of plot to kill. You'd better know that Gunnar is gathering forces and will soon come here and kill you unless you get away and ride home." This struck terror into them, and they acted quickly and took their weapons and mounted their horses and galloped back to Thorherning. Njal went to Gunnar and asked him not to break up his band. "I will act as go-between and try to make a settlement. They are properly frightened now. Since all of them are implicated, the payment for this plot against your life must be no less than a payment for the slaying of either of the Thorgeirs, should that occur. I'll hold on to the money and see to it that it's ready for you if you need it." Gunnar thanked him for his help. Njal rode to Thorhörning and told the two Thorgeirs that Gunnar would not break up his band of men until matters between them had been concluded. They made offers and were very frightened, and asked Njal to go back with offers of a settlement. Njal said he would only go back with offers that had no deceit behind them. They asked Njal to take part in the arbitration and promised to stand by whatever settlement he made. Njal said he would only do so at the Thing, and only if the best men were there. They agreed to this. Njal then acted as go-between until each side pledged peace and reconciliation to the other. Njal was to arbitrate and to choose those he wanted to help him. Shortly after this, the two Thorgeirs went to Mord Valgardsson. Mord rebuked them strongly for having turned over the matter to Njal, since he was Gunnar's great friend. He said that this would not turn out well. People rode to the Althing as usual. Both sides were there. Njal called for silence and asked all the best men who had come there what claim they thought Gunnar had against the two Thorgeirs for the plot on his life. They answered that such a man had a great right on his side. Njal asked whether he should charge all of them or whether only the leaders would have to answer. They said it would fall mostly on the leaders, but that all of them were much to blame. "Many people will say," said Mord, "that they didn't act without cause, since Gunnar broke a settlement with the Thorgeirs." "It's not breaking a settlement," said Njal, "if a man deals lawfully with another. With law our land shall rise, but it will perish with lawlessness." Then Njal told them that Gunnar had offered land or other payment for Moidervall. The Thorgeirs then felt deceived by Mord and rebuked him strongly and said that the fine would be his fault. Njal chose 12 men to judge the case. Every man who had gone along with the Thorgeirs was made to pay 100 in silver, and the Thorgeirs had to pay 200 each. Njal took the money and kept it, and each side made pledges of peace and loyalty to the other, saying the words after Njal. From the Althing, Gunnar rode west to Hjardarholt in Dalir. Olaf Peacock welcomed him. He stayed there for half a month. He traveled widely around Dalir, and everybody welcomed him gladly. At their parting, Olaf said, "I want to give you 3 gifts, a gold ring, a cloak which King Mirkjartan of Ireland once owned, and a dog which was given to me in Ireland. He is large and no worse a companion than a strong man. He also has the intelligence of a man. He will bark at anyone he knows to be your enemy, but never at your friends. He can also see in any man whether he means you well or ill, and he will lay down his life out of loyalty to you. The dog's name is Sam." Then he said to the dog, "Go with Gunnar now and serve him the best you can." The dog went at once to Gunnar and lay down at his feet. Olaf asked Gunnar to be on his guard and told him that he had many who envied him, "since you are thought to be the most outstanding man in the whole land." Gunnar thanked him for his gifts and sound advice and rode home. He stayed at home for a while, and all was quiet. Njal's Saga, Part 71. Shortly after this, the two Thorgeirs met with Mord. The three of them were not in harmony. The Thorgeirs thought they had lost a lot of money because of Mord and had nothing in return, and they asked him to come up with another plan for doing harm to Gunnar. Mord said that he would. "And now my advice is that you, Thorgeir Otkelson, seduce Ormhild, Gunnar's kinswoman, and Gunnar's hatred for you will be even greater. I will then spread a rumor that Gunnar won't put up with these doings of yours. Soon after this, the two of you must attack Gunnar, but not at his home, because no one will risk that as long as his dog is alive." They agreed among themselves that this plan should be carried out. The summer continued to its end. Thorgeir made a habit of visiting Ormhild. Gunnar was not at all pleased with this, and great antipathy arose between them. This went on all winter long. Summer returned, and the secret meetings became even more frequent. Thorgeir Starkaderson from Thorhörning often met with Mord, and they planned an attack against Gunnar at the time when he would ride down to Eyjar to oversee the work of his farmhands. One day, Mord found out that Gunnar was riding down there, and he sent a man to Thorhörning to tell Thorgeir that this was the right moment to go after him. Thorgeir and his men acted quickly and went down, 12 men in all. When they came to Kirkjubæur, there were 13 men waiting. They discussed where they should ambush Gunnar and agreed to go to the Ranga River and wait for him there. When Gunnar rode up from Eyjar, Kolskegg rode with him. Gunnar had his bow and arrows and his halberd. Kolskegg had his short sword and was fully armed. Part 72. Now it happened, as they were riding up to the Ranga, that a great deal of blood appeared on the halberd. Kolskegg asked what this meant, and Gunnar said that when such a thing happened in other lands, it was called wound rain. Olvir told me that it was a sign of great battles. They went on riding until they saw men beside the river. They had tied their horses and were waiting. Gunnar said, "It's an ambush." Kolskegg answered, "They've been untrustworthy for a long time. What are we going to do now?" "Let's ride past them to the ford," said Gunnar, "and make our stand there." The others saw this and turned after them. Gunnar put a string to his bow, took out his arrows, and threw them before him on the ground, and started shooting as soon as they were within range. He wounded many men this way, and killed a few. Thorgeir Arkelson said, "This isn't doing us any good. Let's attack as hard as we can." They did this. In the forefront was Onund the Fair, a kinsman of Thorgeir Arkelson. Gunnar thrust at him with his halberd, it struck his shield and split it in two, and passed through him. Ogmund Floki rushed at Gunnar from behind, but Kolskegg saw this and cut off both his legs and pushed him out into the river, and he drowned at once. The fight then became fierce. Gunnar slashed with one hand and thrust with the other. Kolskegg killed a good number of men and wounded many others. Thorgeir Starkaddarson spoke to the other Thorgeir. "There's not much sign that you have a father to avenge." He answered, "It's true that I haven't made much progress, but you haven't exactly been close on my heels, and now I won't take any more of your taunts." He ran at Gunnar in great anger and thrust his spear through the shield and through Gunnar's arm. Gunnar twisted the shield so hard that the spear broke apart at the socket. Gunnar saw another man come within reach of his sword and struck his death blow, and then seized the halberd in both hands. Thorgeir Arkelson, meanwhile, moved in close, with his sword at the ready. Gunnar turned towards him quickly in great anger and thrust his halberd through him and lifted him up and threw him out into the river, and the body drifted down to the fjord and was stopped there by a boulder. The place has since been known as Thorgeir's Ford. Thorgeir Starkaddarson said, "Let's get away from here. We've no hope of winning at this rate." They all turned away. "Let's go after them," said Kolskegg. "Bring your bows and arrows and get within shooting distance of Thorgeir." Gunnar said, "Our purses will be empty enough by the time compensation has been paid for the ones already lying dead." "You won't be short of money," said Kolskegg, "but Thorgeir won't stop until he has caused your death." "There will have to be a few more like him in my path before I take fright," said Gunnar. They rode home and told what had happened. Hallgerd was pleased at the news and praised them for what they did. Ranveig spoke, "It may be that what they did was good, but I expect that bad rather than good will come of it." Part 73. The news traveled widely, and Thorgeir's death was lamented by many. Gizur the White and Gyr the Godi rode to the place and gave notice of the slayings and summoned neighbors to appear at the thing. Then they rode back west. Njal and Gunnar met and talked about the fight. Njal spoke to him, "Be careful from now on. You have killed twice within the same bloodline, and you must consider, for your own sake, that your life is in danger if you don't keep the settlement that will be made." "In no way do I intend to break it," said Gunnar, "but I'll need your support at the thing." Njal answered, "I'll stand by you loyally as long as I live." Then Gunnar rode home. The time came for the thing, and both sides came in large numbers. There was much talk about how this case would turn out. Gizur and Gyr the Godi discussed which of them should bring the charge for the slaying of Thorgeir, and finally Gizur took over the case and gave notice of the suit at the Law Rock and spoke in these words, "I give notice of a suit against Gunnar Hamundarson for a punishable assault in which he ran at Thorgeir Arkelson in a punishable assault and inflicted an internal wound which proved to be a fatal wound, and Thorgeir died from it. I declare that he deserves the sentence of full outlawry, and that he should not be fed nor helped in it on his way, nor given any kind of assistance. I declare that his property should be forfeit, half to me and half to the men in the quarter who have the legal right to forfeited property. I give notice in the quarter court in which this case should be heard according to law. I give this legal notice in the hearing of all at the Law Rock. I give notice of the prosecution of Gunnar Hamundarson for full outlawry." Gizur named witnesses a second time and gave notice of a suit against Gunnar Hamundarson for having wounded Thorgeir Arkelson with an internal wound which proved to be a fatal wound, and Thorgeir died from it at the place where Gunnar had made a punishable assault against Thorgeir. Then he gave notice as he had done with the first one. Then he asked Gunnar for his district and domicile. After the people left the Law Rock, and everybody said that Gizur had spoken well, Gunnar was even-tempered and said little.
The thing went on until the time for the courts to meet. Gunnar and his men stood north to the north of the Ranga court. Gisr the White and his men stood to the south, and he named witnesses and requested that Gunnar listen to his oath swearing and his presentation of the suit and the evidence he intended to bring forth. Then he swore his oath, then he presented the charges as previously formulated to the court. He had witnesses testify to the notice he had given. Then he had asked the neighbors on the panel to be seated and invited the opposition to challenge the legitimacy of the panel members. Part 74. Then Njal spoke. There's no use in sitting still. Let's go over to where the panel is sitting. They went there and removed four members of the panel and asked the remaining five to constitute a panel for the defense in Gunnar's case and declared whether Thorgeir Starkadrson and Thorgeir Akkelsen had set out with the intention of meeting up with Gunnar and killing him if they could. They all declared at once that this was so. Njal called this a legitimate defense in the case, and he said he would present it unless they agreed to arbitration. Many chieftains then joined in asking for arbitration, and it was agreed that 12 men would decide the case. Both sides then came forward and shook hands on the settlement. After that, the case was arbitrated, and the amount of payment was set, all of it to be paid at once at the thing, and Gunnar and Kolskegg were to go abroad and stay there for 3 years. If Gunnar had a chance to leave and did not take it, he could be killed with impunity by the kinsmen of the slain Thorgeir. Gunnar gave no indication that he thought the settlement unfair. He asked Njal for the money, which he had turned over to him for safekeeping. Njal had it earned interest on it and paid it all out. It matched the amount that Gunnar had to pay out. People then rode home. Njal and Gunnar rode together from the thing. Njal spoke to Gunnar. "Please see to it, my friend, that you abide by this settlement, and remember what we have talked about before," he said. "Just as your first trip abroad brought you great honor, you will gain even more honor from honor this time. Then you will return home with great respect and live to be an old man, and no one here will be your equal. But if you break this settlement and don't go abroad, you will be killed in this land, and that will be a terrible thing for your friends to bear." Gunnar said he did not intend to break the settlement. He rode home and reported on the settlement. Ranvig said it would be good if he went abroad and if his enemies took on someone else for the time being.
Njal's Saga, Part 75. Thrain Sigfusson told his wife that he was planning to go abroad that summer. She said that would be good. He took a passage on Hogni the White's ship. Gunnar and Kolskegg took passage with Arnfinn from Vik. Two of Njal's sons, Grim and Helgi, asked their father for permission to go abroad. Njal answered, "Your travels will be troublesome, and it is not clear that you will hold on to your lives, though you will earn honor and respect. It is also likely that your travels will lead to problems here when you return." They still asked to go, and finally he told them to go if they wished. They took passage on the ship of Bard the Black and Olaf, the son of Kettle of Elda. There was much talk then about how the district was being drained of its best men. Gunnar's sons, Hogni and Granny, were now young men. They were quite different from each other. Granny had much of his mother's character, but Hogni was a fine person. Gunnar had his and Kolskegg's things brought to the ship. When everything was there and the ship was nearly ready, he rode to Burg Thorsfall and other farms to thank everybody who had given him support. Early the next day, he made ready to go to the ship, and told all his people that he was leaving for good, and they took it hard, but hoped for his return later. Gunnar embraced every one of them when he was ready to leave, and they all came outside with him. He thrust his halberd into the ground and leaped into his saddle, and he and Kolskegg rode off. They rode toward the Markarfljot River, and then Gunnar's horse slipped, and he sprang from the saddle. He happened to be facing the hillside and the farm at Hlidarendi, and spoke, "Lovely is the hillside. Never has it seemed so lovely to me as now, with its pale fields and mown meadows. And I will ride back home and not leave." "Don't give your enemies the pleasure of breaking your agreement," said Kolskegg, "for no one would expect this from you. And you can be sure that everything will turn out just as Njal said." "I will not leave," said Gunnar, "and I wish you wouldn't either." "That won't be," said Kolskegg. "I will not be false to this agreement or to any other in which I am counted on, and this is the only thing that will separate us. Tell my kinsmen and my mother that I don't expect to see Iceland again, for I will hear the report of your death, and then nothing will draw me back." With this, they parted,
and Gunnar rode home to Hlidarendi, and Kolskegg rode to the ship and sailed abroad. Hallgerd was pleased that Gunnar returned home, but his mother had little to say. Gunnar remained at home that autumn and winter, and did not have many men around him. The winter came to an end. Olaf Peacock sent a man to Gunnar to ask him and Hallgerd to move west and turn over the farm to his mother and his son Hogni. Gunnar found this attractive at first and accepted, but when the time came, he was not willing to go. At the thing that summer, Gizer and Gyr the Goaty declared Gunnar a full outlaw at the Law Rock. Before the thing broke up, Gizer called all of Gunnar's enemies together in the Almanangia Gorge. Starkad for Thurherning and his son Thorgir, Mord and Valgard the Grey, Gyr the Goaty, and Hjalti Skeggjason, Thorbrand and Asbrand, the sons of Thorleik, Eilif and his son Onund, Onund of Trolloskog, and Thorgrim of Sandgil. Gizer spoke, "I want to propose to you that we attack Gunnar this summer and kill him." Hjalti said, "I made a promise to Gunnar here at the Thing, when he did just as I wished, that I would never take part in an attack against him, and I shall keep this promise." Hjalti then left, and those who remained decided to attack Gunnar. They shook hands on it and fixed a penalty for anyone who withdrew. Mord was to spy out when they might best get at Gunnar. There were 40 men in this band, and they thought it an easy manner to catch Gunnar while Kolskegg and Thrain and many other friends of his were abroad. People rode home from the Thing. Njal went to see Gunnar and told him of his outlawry and the planned attack on him. "You have done well," said Gunnar, "to put me on my guard." "What I want now," said Njal, "is for Skarphedinn and my son Haskell to come to you and wage their lives with yours." "No," said Gunnar, "I don't want your son slain for my sake. You don't deserve this from me." "It won't matter," said Njal. "Once you're dead, the trouble will be directed toward my sons." "That's not unlikely," said Gunnar, "but I would not like it to come from me. I want to ask you about one thing, though, that you keep an eye on my son Hogni. About Granny I have nothing to say, for he does many things that are not to my liking." Njal promised this and rode home. It is told that Gunnar rode to all gatherings and assemblies, and that his enemies never dared to attack him, and thus for a while things were as if he were not an outlaw. Part 76. That autumn, Mord Valgardsson sent word that Gunnar was at home alone, while all his people were down at Eyjar to finish the haymaking. Gizer the White and Gyr the Goaty rode east across the rivers when they heard this, and then across the sands to Hof. Then they sent word to Starkad at Thurherning, and all those who were to attack Gunnar met at Hof and planned how to go about it. Mord said that they would not take Gunnar by surprise unless they seized a farmer named Thorkel from the neighboring farm and forced him to come along with them and go up to Gunnar's farm alone to take the dog Sam. They went off east to Hlidarendi and sent men after Thorkel, seized him and gave him two choices. Either they would kill him or he would take the dog, and he chose to preserve his life and went with them. There was an enclosure above the yard at Hlidarendi, and the party of attackers made a halt there. The farmer, Thorkel, went down to the house. The dog was lying on the roof, and Thorkel lured him away up the lane. But as soon as the dog saw that there were men up there, he jumped at Thorkel and bit him in the groin. Onund of Trolloskog hit the dog in the head with his axe, and it went right into the brain. The dog gave out a loud howl that was like none they had heard before, and then he fell down dead. Part 77. Inside the hall, Gunnar woke up and said, "You've been cruelly used, my foster child Sam, and it is to be expected that our deaths are meant to be close together." Gunnar's hall was built entirely of wood, with overlapping boards on the outside and windows along the roof beams, fitted with shutters. Gunnar slept in a loft above the hall, together with Hallgerd and his mother. When the attackers came near, they did not know whether Gunnar was at home, and they asked for someone to go first and find out. Thorgrim the Norwegian went to the hall while the others sat down on the ground. Gunnar saw a red tunic at the window, and he made a thrust with his halberd and hit Thorgrim in the waist. The Norwegian lost his grip on his shield, his feet slipped, and he fell off the roof and then walked to where Gizer and the others were sitting on the ground. Gizer looked at him and spoke, "Well, is Gunnar at home?" Thorgrim answered, "Find that out for yourselves, but I've found out one thing, that his halberd's at home." Then he fell down dead. The others then made for the buildings. Gunnar shot arrows at them and defended himself, and they could do nothing. Some men then climbed up on the buildings and planned to attack from there. Gunnar could still reach them with his arrows, and they could do nothing, and it went on like this for a while. They took a rest and made a second attack. Gunnar kept shooting arrows at them, and again they could do nothing and fell back a second time. Gizur the White said, "We must attack harder. We're not getting anywhere." They made a third charge and were at it for a long time. Then they pulled back. Gunnar spoke. "There's an arrow out there on the edge of the roof, one of theirs, and I'll try to shoot it at them. It will shame them to be hurt by their own weapons." His mother spoke. "Don't do that! Don't stir them up now that they have turned away." Gunnar reached for the arrow and shot it at them. It struck Eilif Onundarson and gave him a great wound. He had been standing off by himself, and the others did not notice that he was wounded. "An arm reached out over there," said Gizur, "with a gold bracelet around it, and it grabbed an arrow that was lying on the roof. He would not be looking out here if he had enough inside. Now is the time to attack." Mord spoke. "Let's burn him to death inside." "That shall never be," said Gizur, "even if I knew that my life depended on it. But a man as cunning as you're said to be should be able to come up with a plan that works." There were ropes lying on the ground, used for securing the buildings. Mord said, "Let's tie these ropes around the ends of the roof beams and tie the other ends to boulders, and then twist the ropes with poles and pull the whole roof frame off the hall." They took the ropes and rigged them this way, and Gunnar was not aware of it until they had pulled off the whole roof. He kept shooting with his bow, so they could not get at him. Then Mord said once more that they should burn Gunnar to death inside. Gizur answered, "I don't know why you want to keep talking of something that nobody else wants. That shall never be." At that moment, Thorbrand Thorleiksen leaped up on the roof and cut through Gunnar's bowstring. Gunnar grasped his halberd with both hands and turned quickly toward him and drove the halberd through him and flung him off the roof. Then Asbrand, Thorbrand's brother, leaped up. Gunnar thrust at him with the halberd, and Asbrand brought his shield to meet it. The halberd went through the shield and between the upper arm and forearm. Gunnar twisted the halberd so that the shield split and both his arm bones broke, and Asbrand fell off the roof. By this time, Gunnar had wounded 8 men and killed 2. Then he received 2 wounds, and everybody said that he flinched at neither wounds nor death. He spoke to Hallgerd. "Give me 2 locks of your hair, and you and my mother twist them into a bowstring for me." "Does anything depend on it?" she said. "My life depends on it," he said, "for they'll never be able to get me as long as I can use my bow." "Then I'll recall," she said, "the slap you gave me, and I don't care whether you hold out for a long time or a short time." "Everybody has some mark of distinction," said Gunnar, "and I won't ask you again." Randvig spoke. "You do evil, and your infamy will be long remembered." Gunnar defended himself well and courageously and wounded 8 more men so badly that many were close to death. He defended himself until he fell from weariness. They dealt him many bad wounds, but he still evaded them and went on for a long time defending himself until at last they killed him. Thorkel Elferskald wrote about his defense in this verse. Poem. We have heard now how in the south the skipper of the sea steed, Gunnar, greedy for gore, guarded himself with his halberd. Wielding weapons against attack, he gave wounds to 16 of the battle bearers and brought death to 2. End poem. Gizur spoke. We have now laid low a great warrior, and it has been hard for us, and his defense will be remembered as long as this land is lived in. Then he went to Ranvig and spoke. Will you give us land for our 2 dead men to be buried in? Gladly for these 2, but even more gladly if it were for all of you, she said. You have good reason for saying that, he said, for your loss has been great. And he gave orders that they should not steal or destroy anything. Then they went away. Thorgeir Starkaderson said, We won't be safe from the Sigfusons at home on our farms unless you, Gizur, or Gir stay here in the south for a while. That's probably true, said Gizur, and he and Gir drew lots, and it fell to Gir to stay behind. He went to Odi and settled in there. He had a son named Hrold. He was born out of wedlock, and his mother was Bjardi, the sister of Thorvald the Sickly, who was slain at Hestlake in Grimsness. Hrold boasted that he had given Gunnar his death blow. He went to Odi with his father. Thorgeir Starkaderson boasted of the wound that he had dealt to Gunnar. Gizur stayed at home in Mosfell. The slaying of Gunnar was spoken badly of in all parts of the land, and his death brought great sorrow to many.